So we went through most of the malachas that have to do with food preparation and all that, you know, cooking, reheating, warming, serving, all that stuff. And now we went through muktzah, we went through Amir La'akum, so Baruch Hashem, we've gone through a lot of the areas in Shabbos. And I hope that, you know, we've learned something.
When was muktzah last?
That was a while ago, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, it didn't go in, yeah, you just forget about it. So, what we're going to... Yeah, exactly. No, that was like a whole...
30 days before you could forget it.
So, now I want to continue on into other malachis that are out of the realm of Bishul. And maybe we'll try, you know, one by one, go through the 39 malachis, not all 39, because we covered some of them, and some of them are not so nogeya. But the ones that come up are nogeya l'halacha l'maisa, and that not everyone knows all the details regarding them. Okay? So the first malacha is the malacha of binyan v'stira. Is binyan v'stira, is bayin v'saiser, is to build and destroy. So obviously, if a person is Isaac, he's a contractor, and he starts building. Of course, that's us. We know that. Cannot build a house on Shabbos. That's pashut. So how? What is it that we're going to learn here? That's a chiddush. Okay. So let's see. So the yisoid of the malacha of binyan is twofold, and this is this Rabbi Zalman Meltzer in his sefer Evan Ozel. He says this yisoid, that there's two points to the malach of binyan. One point of the malach of binyan is when it's called kibbutz chalakim. You take different parts of something, you know, you take different pieces and you mechaber them, you connect them to being one large piece. Okay, so that's the malach of binyan. What?
Finish
your show. 9 o'clock.
Okay.
You
joining?
Okay,
I have to
do
something. So, there's a meeting between me and I.
Did I say 9 o'clock?
No. I just texted you back that when I finish my meeting, I'm going to come over here. So, I finish my meeting.
Fine. Rabbi Kaganoff is making a mitzvah tonight. Just a buffet thing, so I have to stop in there at 9 o'clock. So, we'll work it out.
Okay. So do you want me to come back at 11? 12?
Let's work it out. Okay. So yeah, we're learning Baina. Okay, so the malacha of Baina, the malacha of Baina is when you are mekavetz chalakim. It's taking different pieces of something and putting them together. So for example, you take two bricks. You take a brick on top of the other one, you attach it, that's binyan. There's another point is that you're attaching something to the karka, is also binyan. So the first thing I want to talk about is binyan bekarka, is when you make a binyan on karka. So obviously, like I said, building a house, Mr. Litowich is out of work on Shabbos, hopefully not during the week, and you're not allowed to do any sort of work on a house on Shabbos. That's obvious. Okay, now where else does it come to Geya? Okay, so Chazal tell us that attaching anything to an existing house is also aser because it's called maisif ala binyan. It's true, granted you didn't build the house, but you're attaching something to the house. It's called maisif ala binyan. Maisif ala binyan is also aser. So for example, let's say you have a doorknob that falls off the door, and you want to, you know, the doorknob falls off, and you want to put the two parts together again on the door in the hole, and you know, just put it in. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. For sure, screwing it together, but even putting it together where it won't fall, obviously, you're just putting it there for a second, and it's falling off, it's not even on. But if it's on, it's also, it's an issur d'orais of binyan, because you're adding to the house. Okay? Tightening is also a problem. Okay? Tightening is also a problem. You have a faucet. Or let's say you have one. Well, that's kalim, not karka. So kalim is going to be different. So right now we're talking about karka. Or for example, What happens if you have a filter? You know, they used to, I don't know, I haven't seen in a while, but these Brita filters that you would attach to your faucet.
Yeah, underneath.
Underneath, you know, to the spigot. So you're not allowed to attach that on Shabbos, because you're attaching, the faucet is part of the house, and you're attaching something to the house. So anytime you attach anything to the house, there's a shayla, it's not shayla, it's an isser binyan. So you attach it in a permanent way. Okay? Now, or for example, let's say you have a loose screw in a closet. You have some shelving that's not, you know, not you know, it's loose or whatever. And you tighten the screws, okay? Something like that would be a problem. Or let's say you have...
Is that connected to the...
In a closet, yeah.
Because you're tightening it, it's not connected to the beam, it's just the wall. It's still,
yeah, the wall is the carpet, yeah. So for example, or even let's say you have a peg let's say you have a bookcase that's built into the wall, and you have a peg that, you know, one of the shelves gets loose and you want to put the peg in for the bookshelf. So that would be awesome, because you're attaching something to the ground in a way that you're not planning on moving that peg. That peg is staying there for as long as
in a non-attached bookcase.
So a non-attached kalim, we have to see. Okay, it depends on size.
And many people have a little piece of angle iron at the top of their bookcase. And they have a little piece of angle iron so that the kids don't climb up and topple over on them.
Right, right.
Not so be attached.
Right, so now you're... Right, yeah, yeah. So now we're going to see that maybe a big kli is also called karka. So we're going to see about that in a minute, okay? But let's just stick to karka. Or, for example, let's say you have a sliding door to your base, to your backyard, or to a closet. Sometimes the closet bifolds. You have closet doors, and sometimes they get off the track, and you want to put it back on the track. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Could be an issur d'oraisa, because it's binyan. You're improving the house. What? Yeah. Why? yeah, that's why I wrote down some examples. So
there,
all these...
There's no leniencies that you actually need this for something.
Right, unless it's pikuach nefesh. Or let's say you have a screen that popped out of your window. You want to pop the screen back into the window. Okay? So I think, you know, or a door comes off the hinge and you want to put it back on the hinge. Any of these things, or even let's say a pantry, let's say even a kitchen cabinet door. And maybe it's not so common on a door to a room, but you have a kitchen cabinet door that comes off the hinge.
The blinds, the slot blinds, you want to pop them back in.
Right, or very often, let's say you have the stick, you know, the one you turn it around to make the blinds go up and down, and your kids take it off, whack each other, and want to put it back on. So, you want to use it as a wand or something. So you can't put that thing back on.
Because of Mechubu Lekarka.
Because of Mechubu Lekarka. That's okay. You're not doing anything then. Yeah, that's fine. But to actually put it, click it back in, that's a problem. Let's say you have on the vertical blinds. Sometimes the pieces fall off. These things, you know, they come off, and you want to click it back in. So any type thing like that, which is reattaching on Shabbos, is also okay. Now, one leniency that you do have is if it's not really attached, it's just leaning on something. So for example, you could have this sometimes in a closet, you have the rod of the closet. So sometimes all you have is that, let's say you have a little piece of wood on either side, and they carve out a semicircle on each side of the wood, and they lay the beam on top of that wood. So it's not really it's not really in anything. It's just laying on top. So that some poskim say is mutar. B'shem Rabbi Yashiv, they bring down that's mutar.
So those blinds we pull down and then they go up again. Not the vertical ones. The ones
shades.
Yes, thank you. They rest in a slot.
That's not really resting in there. They're screwed in and everything. No,
it's resting in the same way as the closet
way
rod
the
is.
Closet rod.
The rod is something screwed in to hold the rod.
The brackets are that you can't do. The brackets of course, but the shade itself slips in.
It's exactly the same as the closet. You have the ends are in the closet or in the air, and the other
I don't see how
you pull these things and they fly off, and then it goes up, and then the whole thing comes down. It's happened all the time as a kid, and my parents never put it back on.
Yeah, no, because I think that that's taka different, because that's fitting in. It's not just laying on top of something. That's fitting into. It's not fitting in. That's just you putting it there.
The rod, one side is completely whole. Only the other side is half.
No, I'm talking about. I'm talking about if it's a half on both sides. Then you don't have a good contract there.
Your case is a half.
I'm talking about a half on both sides. Or the example that happened to me, that happened was Nagea one time. I was in a shul, and it was a shul in a house, basically. And their machitza was just that, basically. They had a rod across, you know, one wall to the other. It was a half a circle on each side. There was no full circle on either side. And a sheet across the beam. And the rod fell off Shabbos morning before davening. So Shabbos, they put it back up. Okay? So b'chi agavna, it's mutter to do that. If it's mamish fitting in, for example, let's say you have like a shower curtain that you open up and it gets in tight over there between the walls, that I would think is a problem, because that's not just sitting on something that you're putting in tight. So that I would think is a problem on Shabbos. Okay.
Some of those are never meant to. It has to, the 24 hours, right? It has to stay in where it is.
But binyan bakarka, it's more chomer. So basically, anything that's binyan bakarka, I would avoid no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Those twisty things are not like.
They're made to stay there for a long time, right?
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's not made to come in and out. Yeah.
Right.
Talking about the shower rod?
Shower
with
rod.
The tension? Why are you taking showers and showers?
To
play hide and go seek.
Yeah, so well, exactly. This is because they built the Mishkan.
So kids.
Pretty basic. And this is
gotta take it out.
No, because that's called attaching to the karka, so that's already part of binyan. Okay?
The whole thing about building it and then assembling it.
Yeah. Okay, so, fine. Yeah, we'll get to that maybe. Now, one thing that is nogeya is something which the way you use it, okay, is by taking it on and taking it off. That's the use of that particular item. So, for example, in the olden days, not every door had a hinge. What they had is they had a plank of wood in front of the door that was like wedged in, and when they had to leave, they unwedged it, took it off, left, and wedged it back in. So there the question is opening and closing the door binyan? Because you're wedging it back in. So there the halacha is that it's not a problem if it's nicker that it's a door. You have to have like a nicker that it's a door. But if it's nicker that it's a door, it's not a problem because it's clear that what you're doing is not binyan. What you're doing is just using the door. You're just going in and out. That's called using the door. That's not called a building or attaching to the house or a window. You know, if you have, you know, like they had these type of windows that you would open, and they had like imagine you have like a box, and you would stuff it into the window, and when you open it, you want to take it out. So, you know, in certain circumstances, that's okay, because you're not really attaching to the house. It's clear that what you're doing is not trying to make the wall bigger. You're not trying to finish the wall. What you're trying to do is just stuff it in the meanwhile and take it out when you're ready. So some people want to tie, you know, what about
if the handle fell, you could just turn it and then take off the handle.
Yeah, but it has to be knicker. It has to be knicker that it's something like that, not just like a peg or not just a piece of wood. It has to be a simon on it. So, for example, where this comes nogeya, I don't know if they have this anymore, but some people, I remember when in my house growing up, we had was they had in the windows, for an extra lock in the windows, there would be a hole going through both windows, top and bottom, and then you would stick a peg in, a metal peg in, to lock the window.
You have that with glass doors and with sliding windows.
Yeah, so you have the peg. So are you allowed to stick the peg in on Shabbos?
You're talking about like in sliding glass doors?
I'm talking about like in a window. A regular old-fashioned window goes up and down. So when it's closed, you have a hole through the bottom and through into both windows. Slide the window.
Comes down, it has a little lock at the top.
Yeah, no, but yes. But in addition to that, they had like a hole drilled through both windows, and you would stick a metal peg.
A kitchen window that has like a little counter outside. Mm-hmm. You close it, you lock it, but so you can't shake it off. A pin goes through, so it makes it harder.
Like a sliding glass door. There,
right? Like a sliding glass door. I would say that's a normal use for the window.
So if...
So they have the peg hanging off on the little chain.
Yeah.
So if it's hanging off a little chain, it's already... What?
Then what?
To a brick, so it's already built. That's the way it's built.
Oh, good. So if it's hanging off the chain, then it's clear that it's part of the window. It's just the lock. So by putting it in, you're not adding to the window. You're not adding to the house. Okay, all you're doing is the use of the lock. But if it's just a peg which detaches totally... And you know, so then it looks like you're just taking a piece of metal, a peg, and you're adding it to the house.
But you know where it is.
I know, but there has to be a simen on it. That's what I'm saying. So there's no real simen. It doesn't matter. There's no simen. He's saying a good simen. In his case, it's a good simen. His case, it's literally tied on. That's a good simen.
The simen is that you go do it. You know where it is. You put it in.
The whole made for it, right?
The whole thing. If the shoe fits.
Right. Now, some people want to argue, what about if, let's say, you have a toilet paper holder or like a paper towel holder, something like that, where you have the part is attached to the house, and then you have the little, you know, little bar, the spring bar that you take in and out. Right, I know. But let's say that the spring bar part fell off and you want to put it back in. So are you allowed to put it back in? So, what?
I would say yes. Fixing it for the
So I would think you're fixing it. So I personally think it's awesome. But there are some people out there that think it's mutter.
To begin with?
What?
Is it mutter to begin with? Because you can't use the toilet.
Well, you can in an emergency, of course.
You can use a car in an emergency.
No, not pikuach nefesh.
No.
If you're stuck without anything and it's covered up brius, to use it, you're allowed to use it.
It's on the melakim. We have to keep ourselves clean.
Right, so the place can say because of that, since if you
ate...
Can you speak up?
So, the... yeah, no, so the point is that some people, I think it's you should not do it on Shabbos. Because you're adding to the house. You're adding on this piece, spring, to the house. And it's meant to be part of there. Now, some people say, no, well, the use of it is to take it in and out.
But it doesn't happen.
But that's very sure. It's not the use of it. That's just a backup thing in order to replace it. But the use of it is when it's attached. Okay? There's certain, the door, the way you use the door is by taking it in and out. The way you use this toilet paper holder is not by taking it off and on. Right? The way you use it is by having it attached, and it holds the thing. It holds the roll of paper. Right? Just as a convenience, they made it that you could take it off, so you could put a new roll in. That's not the actual use of that particular thing, and therefore, by attaching it, what you're doing is you're attaching something to the house. I would say it's awesome. Okay, so
how about a built-in Kleenex box in the bathroom counter? We used to see that in the 1950s and 60s home. Can you?
What?
The Kleenex box was built right into the counter.
And you have a metal cap that comes up, and you put more Kleenex in.
Take the cap off and refill it?
No, that's what it gets nowadays also by garbage can. A lot of under the counter, like in public places, they have that.
Yes.
You know, under the cabinet garbage where you have
a hole.
A hole, or sometimes let's say there's a little thing you have to do.
All right, so same case.
Yeah, the kosher, makers of kosher lamp. Thing.
Instead of the toilet paper, it's got the hooks, and you put the thing right through it, it hangs down. You can just pull tissues off.
In case you didn't, in case whatever, exactly. We were getting, So now, I think that cover. That's like a lot of examples. If you have any other examples, by all means. But I think that that's the point. Now, what Rabbi Yosef over here mentioned is, what about, you didn't mention it directly, but we'll give you some credit, is that what about there's other things which have a din like karka, which is a kli, which is machzik mem saw. It means you could hold 40 saw of water in this kli, like a mikvah. So what is it? It's one amma by 3 ammas. Okay, so let's say 2 feet by 2 feet by 6 feet. So how many cubic feet is that?
3 times 2 is 4, 10, 6, 24.
24 cubic feet, okay? So so let's say that bima there, okay, is that size basically.
Bigger.
It's bigger. Okay? Because it's more than 2 by 2 by 6. It's not 6 feet tall, but it's more than 2 by 2. Okay? So therefore, a bima, or let's say you have a big freezer or a refrigerator or a washer dryer or even a big bookcase, like you said, could be have as a din like a karka. And therefore, let's say you have a big bookcase and you attach a peg to the bookcase, that would still be called, that would still be awesome. Well, let's say in your refrigerator, a shelf fell out of the fridge. Let's say you took the, you told your kid, you know, take an apple out of the fridge and he took out the whole drawer, right?
So you're not allowed to move the beam on Shabbos?
I didn't say you're not allowed to move it. You're not allowed to attach something to it. You're allowed to move it.
Huh? We move it at the car.
No, yeah, but what I'm saying is that a big kli, which is a big kli, which is that big, has a din like karka also. So therefore, attaching to that is also a problem. Okay, so therefore, let's say the shelf came out of the fridge, you won't be allowed to replace it. Okay, some people even wanted to say, you see that plastic thing on top of the bima to hold down the cover? That thick plastic, maybe that's a problem to put it on. Because you're it's supposed to stay there, and you're like attaching to the bima.
What's it being attached to?
So you'll say it's leaning, it's just leaning, it's not doing it, it's like we said before, it's just sitting on it. But what if, so that's what we said, but what if you have a bima...
Oh, the glass that, on top of it.
Or let's say you have a bima that comes up at the sides, and then you stick the glass in, that could be a problem. Okay? Or
how is that any different than putting because
that fits in anything.
But a thing fits in. How far?
You say I hear you're right. Okay, sorry, maybe not. Right.
Even easier.
Right. Now, some people wanted. This was always a big deal, a big question. Some people wanted to know what's a halacha if you're allowed to put a magnet on a fridge on Shabbos. Because you're not allowed
where?
Onto a refrigerator.
Depends how strong the magnet is.
Because it's like attaching to the fridge. The fridge is machzik memsa, and this is you're adding to the fridge by putting the magnet on.
Does it depend how strong the magnet is?
Well, it depends. I think most people say that's not called adding to the magnet, because what you're trying to do is it's clear. Boina has to be that you're making out of two things. You're making them one. Like let's say you have the shelf in the fridge. Yeah. Okay. No. No. Well, that's totally not connected, Betsy. It's gonna break.
It's a small item too.
But the point is. So if you take the shelf in the refrigerator and adding it to the fridge, you're making it one piece. You're making it one fridge now, right? It's not. You don't say, well, I have a fridge and I have a shelf. But the magnet is not like that. The magnet remains an independent item. So you have the magnet and you have the fridge. So there's some magnets on top of the fridge, but it's not becoming part of the fridge, and therefore it's not going to be called boina. Okay? Let's say in the kollel we have, it's nogeya, in the kollel we have an aron, that's a bookcase basically. So let's say the rod on the parochus would fall off, which it did one time, that's why I mentioned in that case. So the rod falls off. So if the rod is just leaning on there, it's fine. But if the rod is actually like fitting in, you wouldn't be allowed to attach it. Because again, it's machzik mem saw. So anything which is, you know, attaching, so you have to realize that these things are chomer. You know, opening and closing doors is obviously not a problem. But anything, so for example, it probably comes like karka. So therefore, it's very chomer. You're not allowed to add or take away anything like that.
Was the parochus leaning in or not? Are you allowed to put the parochus?
No, our parochus really just leans on it. Yeah. So, now, the Chazon Ish discusses what about, similar to the magnet case, what about hanging a picture on Shabbos on your wall?
Using the picture muktzah?
So the Chazon Ish says you're not allowed to because of muktzah. Why would you say it's muktzah? Very good. Because it's not made to move around. It's made to just stay on the wall.
We see that in our sefer.
Right.
Decorations.
Well, that's a little different. But yeah, I hear your point. But But the point is, yeah, Chazon Ish says a picture is muktzah, but lulei that, the Chazon Ish says it's mutter because you're not making the picture part of the wall. You're just putting on top of the wall. But some places can argue. Some places can say you're not allowed to add pictures to the wall on Shabbos. And therefore, some places can even want to go so far to say that you wouldn't be allowed to spread a rug on the floor on Shabbos. Because when you spread a rug on the floor, you're being mevatel to the karka. So you're making your karka thicker. Yeah, but the magnet, the point is that becomes part of the fridge. But this thing becomes part of the karka. My floor now is what?
Maybe it's the big rug I can hear.
I'm not talking about a small area. I'm not talking about an area rug. I'm not talking about like a little small thing. I'm talking about like your, you know, one of these oriental major rugs that's not, you know, you only move
can't
it
afford those anyway.
You only move it underneath, you know, you only move it to get to your once a year to clean for Chametz on Pesach. Yeah, exactly. Those big rugs. Anyway, no one has those rugs in Florida anyway. To get too hot. So, but a big rug, some people want to be mach, which is a big chiddush in my opinion. But, anyway, okay. Now, something which is not made to stay at all, that's what you're talking about. So, if it's not made to stay, it's becheftz of temporary, so it'll be okay. So, for example, let's say your window broke. And you want to put a sheet in front of the window. You know, you want to somehow put a sheet there. You know? So, or for example, if you don't, what could happen is also, let's say you're moving into a new house and you don't have blinds. So you want to open the window and then and put the, you know, close it and so it should hold up the sheet. So you have a sheet in your window. What? What are you attaching the clips to? Right. So if it's just mamish to be done like agav, you know, for a very, very short period of time, like a day, you know, just for mamish right now.
The sun is coming in.
Right. Then it'll be okay. But beyond that, it's already gonna be a problem. Okay? So all this is cases of binyan bakarka. Okay? Fine. Are there any other questions, like examples of that? That's pretty clear. So just avoid binyan bakarka, basically. So now, where it comes up is, the next category is binyan by kalim. Okay, binyan by kalim is where it becomes very, very nageya to many, many areas that come up all the time. The whole controversy, but different opinions regarding opening bottle caps and opening packages and ripping bags and all this has to do with this sugya of is there a parsha of binyan and stira regarding kalim or not?
Opening up a can.
All those things. So maybe next week we'll try to cover those things. You know, just give the background. And all that. But before that, there's a lot of examples before that. So basically, the rule is like this. Whereas in karka, even if something was loosely attached, it's aser. By kalim, it's only aser if it's very, very firm. If it's attached in a way that's very firm. Okay? Like nailed together. Now, very firm means tipshutai. That in order to take it apart, you would need to break it. In other words, it's so together that there's no way to undo it anymore. So in other words, let's say, like literally, you know, you get your bookcase in the mail, you know, delivered, and you want to put together your bookcase. It's not machzik memsa, it's just kalim. Still, if the way that you put together the bookcase is literally by like, you know, pegs and they're stark together, that's also obviously okay. Now, but anything which is not tuk-tuka, okay, it's called hiduk. It's strong, but it's not mamish like one. That's also midrabanan. And if it's just together in a very loose manner, okay, that's motor l'chatchila to do. So Lego, big Lego is motor because of that. Let's say big Lego, like it's for younger kids. Yeah, that's for sure motor. The smaller Lego, some people say it's called, you know, it's strong, but it's not made to last for a very long time, you know. Some adults also.
Lego.
Now, for example, let's take a very simple example, the example that the Gemara gives. Let's say the head of the broom falls off the stick. Okay, so sometimes what you'll have is, you'll have that, let's say, you have the stick goes up and it has a little piece that goes like this, and you put the broom in and it clicks in. So it won't come out again until it does again the next time. So that's called taka, because you can't just pull it off. There's a mechanism there that you can't pull it off. You can't open it. That's taka, that's also, that could be an hesedaraisa. Let's say it's just the broom, the head, one is round, the other is round, and you put it in. So it depends. If it's very loose and it's just going to come out again, it's mutter. If it's tight, it's not mamish, impossible to undo it. It's pretty tight, it will stay. So that's also midrabban.
What if it's threaded and you screw it in?
Yeah. And that's called the cover of a clue. That's okay, because it's made to open and close. Yeah.
What if it's threaded and you screw it?
Oh, what about a screw? So a screw is a big machloikas, if that's called taka or not taka. But we're machmer that a screw, I think we're machmer, that a screw is called takia, because it's not going to come off.
What?
Takia, meaning it's called, it's strong together.
I mean, I'm not talking about a metal screw, I'm just talking about where...
I know, there's a thread there.
It's threaded on here.
Yeah, that's...
It doesn't come right off just by using it.
Right, but the thing is that you don't have to... Takua.
That sounds like the one where you snap it in.
Not really, it's a little different, because by the snapping case, the only way to undo it is by breaking it apart.
Really, you can't just unsnap it out?
No, it's snapped in a way that it's you can't pull it off.
There's some brooms that you snap it in, but you can pull the piece up and it pulls out.
Okay, then that's the same. Then that's like this. But a screw is a very interesting case, because even though it's tight, you could just unscrew it. That's the unique thing about that. Let me just see here for a second. The machlekes, the Magen Avraham, and the Taz. What's the loch of a screw? But let me just see here again. Okay, I have to find where he speaks about this. Okay, so that would be a very simple example. Now, what they have nowadays is, let's say, a high chair. You put the high chair in, or a lot of these types of things, where what happens is that it gets in a way. Let's say you have like a little hole on the side, and then you have a little hole on the piece that you're trying to attach that goes down, and when it hits the hole, it comes out. So therefore, it's stuck in there. But it's very easy to undo it, because you just have to push it back in. Right?
A snap lock.
Yeah. Any one type of these snap lock types of things. So it's a very interesting case, because it's extremely strong. And if you don't know how to open it, the only way to undo it is by breaking it. But if you know the trick, it's very easy. So is that takia? Is that called strong, or is that called weak? Because in the extra chibur,
it's a strong chibur, but if you know how it's meant to be used in a certain way.
Right. So
it's like a nail. If you don't know how to unscrew a nail, it's there forever.
Well, a nail is there forever. A screw, you mean?
A screw. Yeah.
Maybe if you're taking it out in a way that's not
very good.
What?
If you take it apart in a way that's not meant to, then maybe it is taking it right out.
No, but the question is attaching it. So basically, we're all make on this, because it comes up all the time. You attach a table to a high chair, right? So it clicks in. Often, a lot of these things that click in, we're make on that. Because we assume that since if you know the way to unclick it, it's very easy to untake it apart, then you'll be makel, okay?
Like a foldable table.
Now, a foldable table and strollers and porta cribs and all these things that fold is a whole different inyan. If it folds and all the pieces are still attached, they're just folded up, that's completely mutter. We're talking about when there's actually pieces come apart from each other. So there's different pieces there.
So why can't you open up an umbrella?
What? Yeah. Where'd that come
from? That's making an oil.
That's something else. That's making an oil. That's something else. That's this from oil.
So, but how do you know?
What?
Add a piece to the table.
Oh, that's a good question. That,
or like an extension?
Yeah, because they have pegs in it.
Stroller in some space.
Yeah, exactly.
You really pull that out.
What?
You really pull that out. It's an extra piece.
It's an extra piece that you're adding on to the...
What about the stroller's hoodie piece?
That's an oil. That's something else. We're going to get to oil.
Pack and play crib, where the parts are so many parts.
Yeah, so the pack and play, I think, is considered... they're still attached to each other.
The main frame of it is the mattress.
Well, the mattress is not really binion. No, because the binion part is the frame. That's what's called the binion. So that's mutter. But that's a good question. I don't remember the halacha on that. If you're allowed to add the... I could hear that's a shtickle problem, because you're actually adding to the... you're adding a piece to the table. But you're not making a new table.
What was the case with making an... adding something to the table?
Like a table leaf.
Now... what with the big machlekes between Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and the Chazon Ish was in the following, that the Chazon Ish wrote in a tshuva that the reason why you're not allowed to use electricity on Shabbos, you know what, this we'll discuss later in next week's share, because it's very complicated, it's very interesting. Okay, but let's give other examples. Let's say anything which clicks in, let's say toys, let's say you have a dollhouse, you know, so sometimes different parts of it, you know, click in to build the kli. So anything which is clicking in permanently is also, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Okay, or let's say, you know, what happens a lot of times is a toy breaks on Shabbos.
Like the kids train track.
Yeah, but that's not clicking in a permanent way.
But you could later glue it together. Let's say you plan maybe you glue it together later.
So then, if it's just laying together next to each other, it's fine. If it's clicking in, that you could unclick.
But you're laying it together, but you have an intention that later you're going to glue it together.
Laying together is nothing. If it clicked together...
Yeah. What about
no, but a cover of a keli is never considered... Right, a lid of a kli is not considered that you're building the kli, because it's made to open and close. So anything which is made to open and close is always going to be mutter. So we have two things we need to get back to, okay? Cans, bottles, bottle caps, all these things I want to discuss, and this whole schmooze with Rav Shlomo Zalman, with the electricity on Shabbos. What exactly the story with that was, okay?
It's not until the next class.
Now, yeah, they talk about all the poskim discuss at great length. Your case, Avi. What happens if your eyeglasses lens pops out? Are you allowed to put it back in? So if it's very loose, it's mutter, because that's roughly very loose. But if it's very loose, it's probably not going to help you too much, because it's going to pop out in 5 minutes again. So to tighten it, maybe is the problem. Yeah, you could keep popping back in if you're keeping it loose. Okay? Okay? Now, you always have to be careful. There's a gzeira on many things. That depending on what broke about it, that if you fix it, we're chayshish, that maybe you're going to end up, like, you know, fixing it on Shabbos, and it's a problem. But for the most part, if it's very loose, it's mutter. But anything beyond that, so like, let's say, you know, you have a toy that breaks. We have, a toy broom or whatever, and the head of the broom is always coming off the stick. So if it's amash always coming off, it's rough. But if it's tight and it clicks in or whatever, that would be a problem. Okay. Also, let's say sometimes you have strollers that you take the wheels off to pack it. So let's say you go away for Shabbos. Okay, you take off the wheels of the stroller, and then you didn't put them back in until Shabbos. So again, they click in. Yeah, if you know the trick, you could. But there, it's made to stay. It's made to stay in a strong way. So I would say that's a problem. You know, it clicks right in. You should try to make sure that you put that together before Shabbos. Okay. Now, a lot of these things is also a shayla of makom patish, by the way. So, for example, they talk about very common also in if you're in. Is let's say you have these fancy plastic glasses, So there's two pieces, right? There's the base, and then it's just like a round base with a little hole, and then you stick the glass, you know, the plastic glass
the
part
goblet.
Into it.
Yeah, like the goblet portion.
Yeah, so that they say is also.
That's awesome.
To do it on Shabbos.
That's awesome.
Yeah, maybe Altmaka Patish more than Boinet. You're building a chli, you're building a cup.
It's a separate malacha, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just in a case where, you know, also another case where it's example, where here he says it's mutter, but I've heard also, let's say on Yom Tif, you want to make, you know, the floating wicks. Let's say you use oil to light your Ner Shabbos, you use these floating wicks. So to stick the wick in, you're making a kli of a floating wick. Because you're putting the wick part into the cork, so that's, you know, that could be a problem.
Why would you do that?
Why not?
If it's already Shabbos.
It's Yom Tif. Yom Tif. On Yom, no, or Stam on Yom Tif altogether. All these things are also on Yom Tif also. So you have to prepare, say, 3-day Yom Tif, you have to prepare whatever, 20, not 20, but whatever it is. You know, wicks. So anyway, all these are shilas. Next week, I want to talk about, like I said, the containers and the Chazon Ish's electricity, which he held was also al tzboinen. So it's this malacha, and go back and forth the shakam v'tari between Shlomo Zalman and the Chazon Ish regarding electricity. It's very, very fascinating letters.
Is that the whole issue with electricity?
Yeah. So we have to understand it in the context of what we're discussing here. Okay. Okay. Shkarach.